Hey everybody, my name is Jake Barnett. I'm here to bring you the WWE SmackDown on Sci-Fi audio review for the show that aired on January 9th, 2015. This is an all-access audio, so just a brief plug for the member side of our website. I'm sure you've heard this numerous times before, but you get access to a lot of pretty cool stuff. A lot more audio, a lot of exclusive articles, the .NET member forum, the ad-free version of the website, the member blog section if you're the type that likes to jot down your thoughts and try to get reactions from people on your own wrestling opinions, and all that for a very low $7.50 a month, and even less if you buy the annual option. So be sure to check that out, give it some thought, and I think you'll be happy, especially this time of the year when wrestling tends to get a lot more interesting. So this was the final episode of SmackDown that will air on Fridays next week. January 15th, the show moves to Thursdays, and they made a, I don't know if they want to call it a big stink out of it. They really didn't. I mean, they mentioned it on commentary a couple of times, and there were a couple of commercials here and there, and they plugged Daniel Bryan's appearance a couple of times, but for the most part, this just kind of felt like any other Friday Night SmackDown, and that part of it was kind of disappointing. They didn't really go out of their way to make the final Friday show feel special, not that they went out of their way most weeks to make the show feel special anyways. But it would have been nice to get a better show in preparation for the transition to Thursdays, but we just didn't get it here. The show began with a video that recapped the Authority returning to power and, the consequences of that story with Rowan and Ryback and Ziggler getting fired and the fallout of that, as well as they spent a lot of time focusing on John Cena's facial expression during that whole scenario playing out. And so they have to follow up with Seth Rollins opening this show. I mean, he had the Stooges with him. And cut a, probably a 5, maybe 7 minute promo prior to getting any interruption. And he grinned and, absorbed some of the crowd reaction, chanting, "You sold out," and whatnot. And asked if they saw the look on Cena's face at the end of Raw and how precious that was, and then he put a photo up on the Tron so they could get another good look at it, and it was just Cena's dumbfounded face at realizing that his teammates from Survivor Series had been fired anyway after he was quote unquote forced to bring back the Authority to save Edge. Rollins said that he had manipulated Cena into doing something that he said he would never do again, and that was bring back the Authority. Rollins said that the Authority, being back in power, is on John Cena's head, and so are the careers of Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and Ryback. Rollins said that everyone owes John Cena a debt of gratitude because happy days are here again, and he's in the main event at the Royal Rumble. Rollins then said that the Authority aren't being vindictive because their actions were justified, but because he's just such a nice guy, he wants 10 seconds of silence for the lackluster careers of Rowan, Ryback, and Ziggler. As a 10-bell salute started to play, maybe they rang the bell like 3 times maybe, and then Roman Reigns' music hit, and he walked through the crowd to the ring. Rollins said it was nice to see him again, and then he gave the big exaggerated brother as they got face-to-face in the ring. Reigns said he was sorry, but not sorry to interrupt. He called Rollins full of himself and also full of something else. Reigns then called him a son of suffering succotash. I guess, as a Warner or Hanna-Barbera cartoons reference, and said that his brain was donkey dung. I mean, I don't know who's writing these lines for Reigns, but he comes across as a tool. And I think they're trying to make him feel cool. But, I mean, it doesn't even come across as something that he would say. Like, it's so clearly not his words. And he delivers them fine. But it just, coming out of his mouth is just like, really? Like, you don't seem like the type of corny-ass dude that would say suffering succotash and donkey dung in any context of conversation. So that part came across kind of strange. Rollins, feigned being upset with it as much as he could. The crowd was laughing at him, and he got fired up about it and demanded to know why Reigns was really out there. And Reigns then locked eyes with him and said he was there to kick his ass. And then he cleared the heels from the ring, security and Rollins, and they kind of scampered up the ramp. They gathered at the top of the ramp, and that's where Kane and the Big Show joined them. Kane had a mic in hand and said that it would be Big Show and Rollins versus Reigns later in the show in a handicap match, but if he wanted to, Reigns could try to find a partner to wrestle with him. But they would be running afoul of the authority, of course. Big Show grabbed a mic and said that his Superman punch has nothing on the Big Show's KO punch. Show said he would knock out Reigns and his partner, and he'd knock out anybody else in the crowd that would want to try him. Show said Reigns had awoken a tiger, and that he was officially screwed. After that, Tom Phillips took over on commentary as the opening segment kind of ended, and said that the Usos would face Miz and Mizdow and Goldust and Stardust later on in the show. And that's where we cut to our first commercial break. Overall, a segment that kind of overstayed its welcome. I think they went right up to the end of the first quarter hour, so it was like a 15-minute segment, which, you know, really doesn't seem like a lot, but when the promo... I mean, after Rollins finished up with his promo, which really was, you know, the best part of the segment, everything else was kind of downhill from there. And I didn't think Reigns gave a particularly good performance. The crowd was clearly into him as a foil for Rollins, and, you know, being in that position was good. But for the most part, I mean, his delivery was okay, but the content was just awful. I mean, does it make sense for a guy that betrayed you like 6 months ago? And, you know, you're just coming back from injury and you have a reason to hate this guy. And you come out to the ring and you confront him and you say, "You're a son of suffering succotash." Like, would that be the first thing that pops into anybody's head? I doubt it. And I know it's a PG environment and they got to try to get creative. And they want Reigns to, you know, to seem a little bit different than the norm. And kind of break him away from their typical babyface promos. But man alive, that just sounded terrible. And, you know, when he got down to business and he started throwing punches, the crowd woke up for him and everything. But it just, I mean, it was just nothing good there. He just seems really lame. And a guy who's, you know, going to be the lead babyface and, I guess, you know, is the quote-unquote chosen one, if you believe all of the internet rumors to that degree. I mean, he just doesn't feel like he's in that league yet. And I hope they're not pushing him too early, because I think he could be really... talented and you know, be a guy that they could rest the company on down the road, but it just seems like too much too soon for him. He just hasn't quite found that groove yet. But Rollins was great. Kane was Kane. Big Show was Big Show. I mean, those are known commodities at this point, and they deliver what they deliver. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, this wasn't going to change your mind. But I thought, you know, aside from Rollins, that segment was just kind of there. I mean, there just wasn't anything to really get excited about. After the commercial break, Kane assured someone backstage on the phone that things were completely in control. The Miz and Mizdow walked up to him backstage, and he quickly got off the phone. Miz said that it was great to have the authority back in power, and now things could return to normal. And Miz mentioned that they had lost the tag team championships in a one-on-one match, and he thought that they deserved a one-on-one rematch. And Kane initially agreed with him, and was going to take Goldust and Stardust out of that match, but Mizdow accidentally bumped a bottle of water that was in Kane's hand as he was doing his Miz copying theatrics, and Kane got a bunch of water dumped on his suit, and so Kane decided to change his mind and reinstated the Goldust and Stardust into the match and said that the triple threat would carry on as it was. Miz gave Mizdow a dirty look and then walked out of the out of frame somewhere backstage. New Day made their ring entrance in the arena. Adam Rose was already in the ring with Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. We got some video from Raw that showed Kidd and Cesaro attacking Big E on Monday. And then we had our first match of the night, which was Big E defeating Adam Rose in 4 minutes and 1 second. Or at least that's what I had for time. You might want to check, you know, yourself, or find other people to compare it to, because I always seem to be a few seconds off here and there on these things. But Big E was in control for the vast majority of the match. He went for the big ending a couple of times, but Rose managed to wiggle free. There was a point in the match where Rose had hit a nice tornado DDT that cut a near fall, but his offense didn't last very long. Big E came back and hit the big ending late in the match and got the pin. And I don't know what kind of story they thought they were telling with Kidd and Cesaro, but They spent most of the match just leaning up against the announce table, like, you know, kind of half sitting on it, half standing. And then after the match was over, they just got up and walked out. And that was pretty much it. Like, there wasn't any attempts at interference. There wasn't any conflict with the remaining members of the New Day at ringside. There's nothing. Like, they just sat there. And then Rose lost clean. And then they got up and walked away. And, you know, after the match, they walked up the ramp, and Rose kind of rolled out of the ring and crawled up with them. And then the New Day and Rose, Cesaro, and Kid kind of jawed back and forth with each other. But, I mean, what was the point? Like, you could have just had those two out there, and, you know, the babyfaces could have been standing at ringside doing nothing, and it wouldn't have been any different. I don't know if they had them out there purely because of the stare down after the match. I mean, are they setting up some kind of six-man for Raw? I mean, who knows? But it was really bizarre to see two heels out at ringside do absolutely nothing during a match. Like, it just seemed completely disinterested in the entire thing, which was bizarre. And, you know, this feud in general, like, I don't know why I'm supposed to care about the New Day. I don't know why I'm supposed to, you know, buy into Kid and Cesaro as this dangerous tag team. I mean, they've done nothing in terms of characterizing any of these guys, and Cesaro most of all. I mean, he had that brief promo a couple of weeks ago about not, you know, delivering, don't connect, deliver kind of thing, where he was, you know, trying to stake out his claim for a character, and I don't know if I really buy into it yet. I mean, we've seen so little from him in terms of characterization, and the same could be said for the New Day. I mean, all they do is, you know, just chant and dance and act ridiculous. And I know they're supposed to be this super positive team, and I'm sure it's supposed to, you know, appeal to younger parts of the audience, and it'll be great for house shows and stuff like that. But I don't know what they're doing on television. It's just been really strange. So this desperately needs, you know, these characters to grow a little bit before it actually feels anywhere near important. The Ascension made their entrance after another commercial break, and essentially Connor and Victor cut the same promo they did on Monday. I mean, they might have changed a word or two around, but they talked about Legion of Doom, and this time they talked about the Powers of Pain instead of Demolition. And this promo was desperately sweetened up for crowd noise. I mean, they must have just been dead live, because the only thing you heard was just like this faint cheering in the background, and then you know, whenever they would say a line, you know, you could tell they sweetened it up quite a bit. So that's kind of sad that they have to do this for these guys this early in their run, but there's just nothing here. I put in my report that, you know, the crowd could have been mic'd poorly, because it didn't seem they were particularly loud even when they were the loudest later on in the show, like for the main event and for the triple threat tag team match and stuff like that, where they actually got, you know, somewhat involved. Like, you could see them being animated on TV, but they definitely sweetened up the audio for the Ascension. And, you know, the Ascension were in the second match of the night against some jobbers. It lasted 40 seconds. They hit the Fall of Man, and it was over. Nothing going on there. I don't know what's going on with the Ascension. I mean, they brought them in as this, you know, kind of Road Warriors, Legion of Doom copycat act, you know, which Demolition did to better effect years ago. And it has to be a rib. I mean, I have to believe that this is somebody mocking that era of wrestling through a modern act. I can't imagine that somebody saw these two guys, saw their size, saw their ability in the ring, heard them on the microphone, and said, oh man, these guys are the next Legion of Doom. Like, I just can't believe that somebody would think that, unless it was on purpose that they were going to make it into a joke. And that's the only way I can imagine it being anywhere near good. So I hope they have something better planned for these guys, because if this is it, it's going to die a thousand deaths. It's going to do it in a hurry. And that's pretty much what we're watching on TV the past couple of weeks. But after the match, Byron Saxton interviewed the Usos backstage. He asked them about the end of Raw, and they said it was wrong. Not very emotional about it. Like, you didn't get the impression that Ryback or Ziggler or Rowan were their friends or anything. They just said, man, that was wrong. They abused their power. Now, can we talk about our match? And that's pretty much what they did. They talked about I think they transitioned by saying that the triple threat stipulation for their title defense was wrong too, and then they cut like a 30-second hype mode promo where they were just screaming and talking about how the titles were coming home. So that was what we got out of the Usos tonight for a promo. Wasn't particularly good. Wasn't particularly bad. Just, you know, what you're used to. Nothing you need to go out of your way to see. Alicia Fox was introduced in the ring after another commercial break. Video was shown of her assaulting Naomi backstage. Naomi then made her ring entrance, and a picture-in-picture promo was shown from Naomi, and she said she was going to get Uso crazy on Alicia, which I groaned about as it happened. But the third match of the night was Naomi versus Alicia Fox. It was only a minute. I mean, that's really all they give the Divas anymore, it seems like. Some back-and-forth action. Naomi looked to be in control for, you know, the first 30 seconds or so. They went back and forth for a bit, and then Alicia rolled her up using her feet, both feet on the ropes, to get a cheap win at a minute and 19 seconds. Not much to really talk about there. I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, they probably could have had a good match had they been given, you know, 5 minutes. I mean, you know, both of them are fairly talented in the ring and have, you know, a decent amount of athleticism, but it just never got a chance to happen. The announce team introduced a WWE.com clip of Michael Cole's weekly interview with Triple H. The clip they showed focused on Triple H blaming Cena for everybody getting fired and how it was pretty much all his fault and he should look to himself, to if he's looking for somebody to blame for these problems, and Cena should, have to internalize all that, essentially. Triple H absolved himself of all blame for what happened and said that the guys were stupid if they didn't see the firing coming after the Authority came back into power. One thing that kind of stuck out at this point, because they went to commercial again, is that this whole show has felt like creative coasting. Like, there wasn't anything interesting in the first half of the show. That clip and then going to commercial here, when we came back, it was going to be right at the top of the second hour. So if you tuned in for the first hour, you mean you saw about a 5-minute promo from Seth Rollins that was kind of fun and got the crowd going, but other than that, it was just death. So coming back from commercial, we got more video of Raw, which showed the conclusion of the ambulance match between Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose. They then cut to Bray Wyatt, who said he thought Ambrose was different, but it turned out he wasn't. He was just like everyone else, a coward and afraid of the dark. He spouted some more gibberish for a minute, as he does and always will do. And then he finally got around to his point, which was that at the Royal Rumble, 29 others would fall to him, and the universe would begin anew at WrestleMania. In the arena, the Usos made their ring entrance. Goldust and Stardust made their entrance. We got some video that hyped Daniel Bryan's return for SmackDown's heading to Thursday night next week. And then The Miz and Mizdow made their entrance. And we got the fourth match of the night, which actually got a decent amount of time. It was Miz and Mizdow versus the Usos versus Goldust for the Tag Team Championships. And the Usos retained those belts at 16 minutes and 48 seconds. So the first quarter hour of the second hour of the show was taken up by the Usos and the Triple Threat Tag Team match. And I thought it was fairly good. I thought Goldust and Stardust shined better as working heel throughout the match than Miz and Mizdow did. There was kind of a strange spot late in the match where Miz got knocked off the apron and Mizdow made, quote-unquote, a hot tag to one of the Usos, and it got quite the babyface reaction, which was kind of interesting to see. I think, you know, they might be getting to the point now where, you know, the Royal Rumble is going to have to be the time where Mizdow eliminates Miz from the Rumble or something, and they finally start a feud together in earnest, because I think they're reaching the point where if they try to carry this forward any farther, you know, it's just going to kind of get old and people are going to lose interest in it. So I'm hoping the Royal Rumble is where that takes place and we see them get into a feud, because I think they have to strike while the iron is hot with that one. But the match ended after, you know, the Mizdow and Jey Uso did the bulk of the selling in the last half of the match. The first half of the match before commercials was essentially dominated by the Usos, and the second half was dominated by Goldust and Stardust working heel, and you know, occasionally The Miz would get in there too. But there was some confusion, and Goldust was low-bridged to the outside by Stardust on accident. Jimmy then did a suicide dive on the outside onto Goldust, and you know, everybody else had basically been cleared off the ring by trading signature moves at that point. And then Jimmy followed up with a splash from the top on Goldust and got the win for his team. So the Usos retain at 16-48. It was an okay match. I mean, it wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but it was okay, and it was entertaining, and, you know, not saying a ton, but it was, you know, easily my favorite match of this show. I mean, you know, in terms of wrestling quality, I think we got to see, you know, more wrestling out of this match than we even got out of the main event after it happened. That was essentially a brawl at that point, so... good match from the tag teams. You know, I like that they, you know, they made the Usos feel like they were threatened. They did some decent near falls in there with Goldust and Stardust and The Miz. And, you know, there was a point late in the match where, you know, the Usos were kind of out, and it was between the two heel teams, you know, as everybody was trading signature moves, where you thought, hey, it might be possible that we might see a title change. But they managed to work their way back into an Uso win, which was fun. So if there's a match that you're going to go out of your way to see, you know, if you want to catch this on Hulu or download it or however you're watching after the fact, if it's on your DVR, watch this one and then watch the main event. Everything else can be kind of tossed aside. But after another commercial break, we began with Bad News Barrett making his way to the ring. They had a really long commercial break after the tag match, and came back with Bad News Barrett after a clip that showed Barrett capturing the Intercontinental Championship on Monday. Barrett gloated that he had some good news and called himself a multiple-time Intercontinental Champion. The announcers kind of corrected him and said he was a 5-time Intercontinental Champion and listed off the impressive group of people that he joined to becoming a 5-time Intercontinental Champion. He said his second bit of good news was that he was entering the Royal Rumble and he would be the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Our fifth match of the night then began when Sin Cara made his entrance. This match was short, less than 3 minutes. There was some decent back and forth early. Barrett hit a very pretty looking Winds of Change a few minutes into the match that got a good near fall. He set up for Wasteland, but Sin Cara, he kind of maneuvered himself so that that Barrett kind of walked backwards a bit, like he threw off his momentum, and then Sin Cara landed out on the apron. He then hit a jumping kick that sent Barrett down to the mat. He followed up with a swanton from the top rope and got a win at 2 minutes and 52 seconds. So Sin Cara gets a surprise victory, starting the cycle of non-title losses for the Intercontinental Champion, which will no doubt continue until he finally drops the belt. After the match, Barrett beat up Sin Cara at ringside and then dragged him back into the ring. He hit the Bullhammer elbow and celebrated. Cole said that they would air the final comments of Ryback, Rowan, and Ziggler from Raw after Raw went off the air on Monday after the break. You know, what is there to say about Barrett? I mean, he's had bad creative since his character's inception. You know, I guess the only real good creative he ever had was when he was in the Nexus and they were going fairly strong, and Barrett had kind of taken over leadership of that group and really showed, you know, that he could be a lead heel. And I think, you know, they've, since he broke out as a single star, you know, they did the core thing, which was dumb. And then he, you know, when they first started doing, you know, the Bullhammer thing, and he was like this street fighter, and that didn't really work. And Bad News Barrett at first seemed like a terrible idea, and that kind of caught, you know, some wind underneath it, and he made that work just by, you know, making it as ridiculous as possible. And now, you know, that he's come back, you know, he's been out with injury numerous times, and now that he's come back from injury and captured the title again, are they going to break this cycle of bad creative kind of holding him back, or is this going to be, you know, the modus operandi for his entire career. I don't know. I certainly hope not, because he's one of the more talented guys they have on the roster in terms of being able to put it together both physically and verbally on the microphone. So it seems like a waste to have him lose in non-title matches to a character that nobody really gives a crap about in Sin Cara. So that was disappointing, and hopefully they get it right at the Royal Rumble and we see Barrett have a strong showing. After that break, we got to see Ryback, Rowan, and Ziggler's comments, as Cole promised. Ryback said that he felt humiliated on Monday, and that Triple H and Stephanie's mockery of him and his career with their nonchalant attitude about firing him was the worst feeling in the world. I thought Ryback had the best comments there. He seemed to be the only one who really looked rattled by the whole thing. Rowan just said that he was disappointed, and then he put on his sheep mask or lamb mask and walked out of frame. Ziggler tried to do his best somber announcer voice, like they do when somebody legitimately gets hurt, or when they're trying to work an injury and they pretend like somebody's legitimately hurt. Ziggler was real, like, low and you know, collected, and did his best to do that voice. And he said that he thought that he had really achieved something great at Survivor Series, and man, now it's all just up in smoke. And he put his, you know, head in his hands and was exasperated and just kind of walked off a frame. So Ziggler did his best sad guy impression, and it was all right, but it just came across as forced. The announce crew asked who would be crazy enough to be Reigns' partner, and that match would be up next. After the commercial, Big Show and Seth Rollins were already in the ring. Kane and the Stooges were at ringside. Roman Reigns made his entrance. Crowd got fired up for that. And as soon as Reigns got in the ring, it looked like they were going to ring the bell, but everybody knew that somebody else was coming. And by gosh, Dean Ambrose made his entrance as the surprise partner. And at this point, Rollins and Big Show, got out of the ring and collected themselves as Ambrose got into the ring and shook Reigns' hand, and the crowd woke up for that. And after the heels had collected themselves and made a strategy, we got the main event, which went a little bit shorter than the earlier triple threat tag match. 14 minutes and 9 seconds is what I had for time. It was an alright match. I mean, Ambrose spent, you know, the majority of the match, I'd say the last maybe 8 or 9 minutes doing selling. I mean, you know, they had a few minutes before they went to an early commercial in the match, and that essentially was Reigns and Ambrose dominating the offense and controlling Rollins in the early going, and then they went to commercial when Big Show pulled Rollins out of the ring to the outside with the rest of the Authority crew, and they did a regroup strategy session thing. And then when they came back from break, Big Show was slapping Ambrose's chest, and they showed video during the commercial of Show hitting one of his big knockout punches, but instead of hitting the punch to Ambrose's face, he hit it to the back of his knee as he stood on the apron, and so Ambrose was essentially cut off from his partner. He had a bum wheel. Show and Rollins continued to go after the knee for the most of the remainder of the match to prevent him from being able to make a tag. Show even hit another one of those big punches to the back of his bad knee, but it didn't play into the finish. It was the weirdest thing. Like, they spent all that time going after the knee, the punches to the back of the knee. You know, they did all they could to kind of fire up the, you know, to make the crowd care about Big Show's big punches, because they're trying to have this Superman punch versus KO punch thing, and Show hits these big punches to the back of Ambrose's knee, and then he ends up making a tag anyway to Reigns late in the match, and then Reigns kind of gets in trouble when the numbers game catches up to him, because you got all the goons and Kane and Rollins and Big Show. And then Ambrose climbs up top and hits a double drop kick that knocks Show out of the ring. And then, Reigns avoids a curb stomp and hits a spear and gets the win. Like, all that selling of the knee and going after the knee didn't even play into the finish. It was so bizarre. I don't know why you bother with that level of psychology with the knee if you're not really going to pay it off with anything. But either way, it was kind of a fun close to the show. I mean, I didn't expect anything different than a spear and a pin to close out SmackDown, and that's exactly what we got. Ambrose and Rollins had kind of a bro moment on the stage where they were hugging and doing the bro fist crap. And the crowd was fired up, and the heels were steaming down in the ring, and that's pretty much how the show went off the air. So, all in all, I mean, not a fantastic SmackDown by any stretch of the imagination, but not a bad one either. I mean, you had a couple of good matches, and, you know, I mean, that can kind of sometimes carry a show, and it kind of did in this case. I mean, there wasn't anything else aside from those two matches to really go back and watch if you're not a normal viewer of SmackDown. And if you don't really care about, you know, just watching wrestling matches, then you can probably just avoid the show altogether. I mean, there's nothing that won't be recapped on Monday during that show to catch you up to speed, you know, if you're somebody who misses SmackDown regularly. So, if you're somebody who watches SmackDown, I'd say, you know, watch those two matches and be done with it. If you're somebody that doesn't normally watch SmackDown, there's really no reason to go out of your way to watch this show. So, I would say, meh kind of show. Nothing really jumped out at me as being particularly excellent, but it, you know, those two matches, the tag match that closed the show and the triple threat tag match at the top of the second hour, could potentially, hold your attention if you're just looking to catch some wrestling and you got some time to kill. So that'll do it for me this week. I will be back next week on Thursday with more coverage of WWE SmackDown on its new night. If you're looking forward to that. I am looking forward to Daniel Bryan's return. I hope you all have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.